Good morning. Hear me okay? We all good?
Lovely.
John 13 starts with this. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He lay aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. I want to talk a bit about our identity this morning and perhaps what our identity is for. Now, I don't know whether you sort of remember what it was like growing up. That's perhaps a little further in the past for some of us than it is of others. I'll say no more than that. But as a child and as a teenager and even as a young person, and I think as whatever age you are, we begin to piece together a sense of who we are, right? And we get this from various different sources, and as we begin to interact with the world, we kind of build up this picture of who we think we are, or who we perhaps want to be, and how we present ourselves to the world. And as a child, perhaps, and certainly as a teenager, that can be a bit of a strange thing. You do something and everyone claps and says that was good, and you sort of say, oh, well, do some more of that then. And then you do something else perhaps and you put one version of yourself out there, or it's not received quite as well, and people are a bit like, oh, you know, that's a bit weird. And so you're like, well, I'll do less of that. And we sort of feel out the world and begin to piece together who we are, perhaps. At school, it was very much you split into groups of, well, these people like this and these people like this, and we begin to get a sense of identity from what we do, from what we like, what we have, the clothes we wear. And we kind of end up with this sense of who we are. And I think there are extremes of this, of where someone is entirely defined by perhaps something they own or the job that they have or the status they hold. But I think that those things are true for all of us on perhaps a more subtle scale, that we all get a sense of who we are because of something that we have or something that we do or a position we hold, and we all kind of invest ourselves in these little things that help us build up a picture to us of who we are. And I read this book, and I don't think he was a Baptist guy, but he probably should have been, because there was three things and they all started with the same letter. And he says that we kind of get our identity from three things: performance, possessions, and popularity. And I think, like I say, there are extremes of all of those things, but I think for each one of us at any moment in time, those things are very true. And it's very easy to sort of take what we think of as who we are and invest it in some of these things. Like, yeah, this thing that I have is part of who I am. Or this thing that I do, this position I hold, is part of who I am. And to some extent, that is true. But the danger comes is that those things can be taken away, or those things change over time. Your role or your identity as a mother or a son or a father or an uncle, a brother, whatever, does change over time. When your children are very young, they need you a lot, and then they perhaps need you less and less until they move out and only come for a roast chicken and to get some free washing. And whilst all of those are expressions of being a son or being a mother or being a father, they change. And so if we are too invested in one idea of ourselves, and things change, then we kind of end up a bit lost. Suddenly, with the simplest thing like losing a position or a possession or perhaps a change of status, our whole sense of who we are comes tumbling down. When I think I must have been about 18 or something, I came off my bicycle in quite spectacular fashion, and I broke both my elbows and my scaphoid bone in my hand, just sort of sawn in two. And so for, I think it was about 8 weeks, maybe 10 weeks in the summer, I had a cast up to here, and both elbows were pretty much out of action. This one got better just about so I could sort of brush my teeth and do some other necessary functions. But otherwise, I was pretty out of action for an entire summer. And at the time, I was working for the church in Sheringham, and I was doing a sort of discipleship, leadership course thing, which was very hard to explain to people. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm at uni doing accountancy, or it wasn't a very neat thing to explain to people at parties. It was sort of, well, you know, I do this and that. And so I'd always said, well, you know, I work for a church, and basically I just move the chairs around. Because we all know that regardless of what churches do and what God's a part of, God shows up, but God does not move the chairs. And so humble servants like myself were dedicated enough to move the chairs. And that was a big part of what I did there. I sort of moved the chairs, I did this, I took the bins out, etc. And that was really where my sense of identity in that role was almost entirely sewn up in that function. And I had sort of bought into that idea by it being the first thing I told people. What do you do? Well, I move the chairs, ha, ha, ha. Kind of this self-effacing thing. And then all of a sudden, I was like smashed up and couldn't do anything. And I suddenly had to, well, I've got 8 weeks. I can't do nothing for 8 weeks. And I did try moving chairs, but it didn't go well. I had to find a new sense of who I was in that moment. I know it seems silly and trivial, but I can be, both of those things. But it really knocked me for six. Being like the young guy and doing all this stuff was such a big part of who I was in that sphere. And suddenly, with an accident, all of that got taken away. And I had to reassess suddenly I don't feel like I'm valuable anymore because my ability to do this one thing has been taken away. And it was a really hard 8 weeks of trying to understand who I was, understand how I would operate in that team and in that place for that time, where I found my sense of identity and my worth, how I could bring value and feel part of something without doing what I had always done. Another side of it was, at the time I was sort of on the rota to lead worship, probably 2 times a month, I think, just because I was there, and suddenly I couldn't play my guitar anymore. And I had to decide, I think I was leading worship like 2 or 3 times before I would get my cast off, let alone whether that would then I would be able to play again. And I had to decide, hang on a minute, do I just play the guitar? Or actually, am I a worshiper? Because if I can't play the guitar and then I just stop that part of my life, then what does that say about it? Should I be doing it at all, really? And so one of the scariest things I ever had to do, and guitar players can attest to this, was lead worship without my guitar. There's a Will Ferrell film, I think, where he's a race car driver and he's having an interview for the first time. Have you seen this one? And he doesn't know what to do with his hands. And so he's having this interview and his hands are just sort of up here like this. And all of a sudden you're up here and you don't have a guitar. And suddenly your hands feel like 8 feet wide and you feel like a right klutz. But at that time, I had to make a decision about who I was. Hang on, was I just the guy who moved the chairs and played guitar? Or did I have other things to bring? And actually, if I brought nothing, did I still feel secure enough in myself? And in the sense of who God said I was, to not find worth and identity just in what I did, but in who I am? And was I just the guy who could play the guitar, or was I a worshiper? You see, we kind of end up with these labels that we put on ourselves. Or others put on us. Most people I speak to have a story about a teacher that said something to them. Now, I don't envy teachers at all because they've got a really tough job. But I don't know if you can remember, I can remember a few things that a teacher said to me or about me that have really stuck with me. And as we go through these lives, we kind of collect these labels. And some of which we can brush off or move past, but some of which really stick. And some of which we buy into. And it's not necessarily just negative ones as well. Like, positive labels can be as constricting as negative ones. you can label someone, oh, he's the academic one, or he's the arty one, or he's the musician, and we can say these things about people in a very good-hearted way, and we mean well, but labels stick. And suddenly you've been told your whole life that you are the academic one. And you feel this pressure to live up to that. And what we do becomes who we are. Whereas I think it's supposed to be the other way around. And I think having a sense of who we are separate from what we do is a big part of what Jesus came to do. And a big part of who God says you are is who you are without you doing a single thing. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back from God. Karl Barth has this quote that I have clung to for a very long time, and it says that no person can be anything other or better than this. One who is loved by God. And to me, that kind of provides a median line where if I'm feeling like I've done a really great job or I've done a really bad job or wherever I feel I am on that scale, this sort of just cuts through that and says, well, now hang on a minute. At your core, you are loved by God. And there are other things that we attach to that. And there are other things that we do and we are, and we have different senses of personality and style and likes and dislikes. But when those things become who we are at our very core, we're on very shaky ground. When we have a real sense of who we are in God at the core, then we hold these other things a little more loosely. And so that when they change, when we lose a job, when our relationship with someone changes, when we lose a possession or we gain a possession or we change in status, we're not crushed or dismayed or destroyed by it because it was a part of who we were, but we held it loosely because it was a peripheral to the central, unshakable understanding of who we are in God. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God. So Jesus, towards the end of his life, when he was fully aware of who he was, rose from supper, lay aside his garments, and taking a towel, tied it round his waist, poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel. You see, a lot of us will be very familiar with the promises of God, of who we are in God. And this, having a sense of grounding is so important. And I think it's something that we're always working towards, we're always building upon, we're always adding bits. Oh yeah, God says this, or God says this, and we're adding to this secure foundation that we have of who we are in Him. But at any point that causes us to get puffed up or prideful or lazy, we've missed the point. An understanding of who we are in God is not permission to sit back and relax. It's an invitation to serve. As Jesus, knowing full well who He was, put a towel over His arm and began to wash His friends' feet. And a lot of problems everywhere, I think, in workplaces, in churches, in schools, in relationships are due to an insecurity. This insecurity that we all wrestle with. And sometimes what stops us serving, what stops us giving freely, is this insecurity that we have in ourselves. And finding this secure foundation of who we are in God doesn't give us license to sit back or to become impressed with ourselves. It gives us a license to serve freely. Because if I know exactly who I am in God, and I know that is unshakable, whether I break my arm, whether I lose my luscious locks, whether I have to find a new job or a new role in an organization or a family, or regardless of how that plays out, I know who I am in God. And therefore, I'm free to serve gladly, to give generously, to be open with my community, with my family, and with the world, because I know who I am. And nothing can take that away. And I can't add to it. And I can't take away from it. I can't do more good things and then be even more a child of God. Your children, if you have children, they can't do anything more to be more your children than they already are. Now, I haven't got children. I'm convinced that parents have favorite children. Maybe when I might come back and check back in if I end up having children. See whether that changes. But you must have a favourite child. No. All right, you can say no for the sake of everyone around you. But I'm on to you. But your children can't do anything more to be your children. And they can't do anything less to be your children. And so when we have this unshakable foundation that we know we can't add to, and we know we can't take away from, suddenly we are free. We're free from the fear of trying and failing. Because suddenly if we fail, it's like, oh no, hang on, okay, now I'm still this. And we're also free to succeed. Because if we succeed, then that's really great too. But we're also still this. And we're free to serve and we're free to give freely because we know who we are, and we have everything to give. I found this little book in a charity shop, and it's been very good to me. It's called "We Travel an Appointed Way" by Tozer, and he has this little chapter in here. They're super short chapters, which I like. It keeps it moving along. Called "Holy Men and Holy Deeds." And he finishes like the two-page chapter with this. He says, every person should see to it that he is fully cleansed from all sin, entirely surrendered to the whole will of God and filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he will not be known as what he does, but as what he is. He will be a man of God first and anything else second. A man of God who paints or mines coal or farms or preaches or runs a business, but always a man of God. And this unshakable foundation that we have gives us the security to step out, to try, to fail, to succeed, but most of all, to serve. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, took off his outer garments, tied a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. Maybe just take a moment and ask God if there are any areas of your life that have too much hold over who you are. Whether that be a job, a status, something you own, something you do. And this morning, just quietly offer it back to him. And Father, I pray that as we hold loosely the peripherals of who we are and what we like and what we enjoy and what we're good at and where we work and who we hang out with, Father, I pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit and instill in us a sense of who we are in Jesus. An unshakable foundation of who we are that cannot be added to, cannot be taken away from. And from that place, would you give us the courage to step out, to fail, to succeed, and to serve each other and the world. Amen.